Christ. This morning, if you would, I'd ask you to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter number 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. And if you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. I believe if we stand for the flag, we ought to stand for the Bible reading. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. 1 Kings chapter number 10. We'll read verses 1 through 10, and then we'll skip to verse number 13. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he had told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and that attendance of his ministers, and their apparels, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." Verse 6, "And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not thy words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and spices, a very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." Now would you jump down to verse number 13? It says, "And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went her to her own country, she and her servants." This morning, I want to preach to you a message entitled, "There is Nobody Like Him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. Lord, we've been praying for this day for a long time, Lord, not just this church, but myself. Lord, I thank you for your providence. I thank you for providing for all of us. Thank you that we get to come together and to serve you. And Lord, I pray this morning that you will be with the message, that it will be proclaimed. And Lord, if there's someone in this room that does not know you as their Savior, they don't know where they would spend eternity when they leave this life, Lord, I pray that they would not leave here without knowing for sure where they would go when they pass. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you would help me today. Just give me the words to say. Help it not to be Matthew Lumpkin's words, but that it would be your words, Lord. Lord, I thank you again for this good church. Thank you for the people, and I pray that you would just work in all of our lives this morning, for we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever met someone that just left you in awe? I mean, you just thought how wonderful they are, how amazing they were to you, how kind they were to you. By the way, that's what we felt the other day at church, when y'all came and you helped us. We were just in awe, and I thank you for that. But if you ever come across a person like that where you felt like this person is just amazing, you could just tell that they have a good spirit, they left you shaking your head and saying, "There's nobody like that person." Can I tell you, there are those kinds of meetings are rare. They are very rare in today's age. Most people, they don't even give you the time of day anymore. But there are some people that occasionally it does happen. But the Bible records for us an account of one of those meetings. In our passage this morning, we see the Queen of Sheba. She was left in amazement when she came and she met King Solomon. Now, she went away saying, "There's nobody like him." Now, many years later, when Jesus was walking on this earth, when he ministered in here on earth, he mentioned this very event. He spoke of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, and he reminded his listeners that he was even greater than Solomon. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 42, it says this: "If an earthly king left that queen astounded at his glory and his greatness, how much more will King Jesus amaze those who meet him?" You know, this morning I'd like to preach to you on this message, "There is nobody like him." And I want to show you that there is, as great as Solomon was, there is one that is greater than Solomon here this morning. There is one that we serve that is greater than Solomon. I want to tell you this morning that there is nobody like him. There are a few thoughts in this passage that I would like to draw out this morning. First of all, I want you to notice the reputation of the king. The reputation of the king. Now, the land of Sheba was located about 1,200 miles north of Israel. It's basically where Yemen is today. And as this queen, she served in this country. The sailors, the merchants, they passed through this country. And they shared word of the greatness of the king of Israel. They shared the greatness of King Solomon. What their testimony said was about him was, "There's nobody like this king. There is nobody, there's no other king like this in all the lands that we've ever been to." He had a great reputation. And the Queen of Sheba heard some of these things that these people were talking about. She heard, firstly, of his wealth. In verse number 7 of our scripture, you'll see that the Queen of Sheba says, "Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard." She heard of the great riches that Solomon had that flowed from his kingdom. And in chapter 9, verse number 28, it talks about how much he had. Look it with me in verse number 28. It's just right up, it was the last verse of chapter 9. It says, "And they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold, 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon." Now, if you convert this into pounds, it was about 31,500 pounds. That's pretty heavy. Now, look, this is worth over $2 billion. That's a lot of money. That's great riches. But in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, we see that it's talking about 50,000 pounds, which is worth over $38 billion. Solomon's wealth was greater than anyone could ever imagine. You see, the Queen of Sheba was she heard of this wealth. She heard of how rich he was. She heard of his works. In verse 6, we see it says, "And she said unto the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land thy acts and of thy wisdom." She heard of his acts. Of his works. She heard the great kingdom that he had built. She heard the temple that he had constructed for God. She heard the great palace that he built for himself. She heard that he was a powerful king, and she wanted to know more about him. She was curious. She also heard of his wisdom. In verse 6, we saw that about his wisdom. She heard of his intelligence and that he could answer the deep questions, the questions that she had for him. This queen came to Solomon because she had problems with her power and with her wealth that she could not solve. So she came to him for advice. She came because there were questions that her gods could not answer. She came because she needed help, because Solomon could help her. She heard of his worship. In verse 1, it says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions." You notice where the fame of Solomon was in mind with this woman concerning the name of the Lord. You see, this was because of the name of the Lord. It's because of the Lord that he had this. It's all because of the Lord that Solomon had what he had. What impressed her more was that his position, more than his power, more than his prosperity, and more than anything else, was his relationship with his God. That's what impressed her more. But you see, when she learned that Solomon's God was the one responsible for his glory, she wanted to know more. She wanted to know more about this God. And when she learned about Solomon's God, and she learned that he was the one responsible, she wanted to know more about him. She wanted to know about this connection and that he had with God. She was interested in meeting the God of Solomon. Now, how do we apply this to us today? We're not here to exalt Solomon this morning. We're not here to exalt him. He was a great king. Let me tell you, he was a great king. But we are here to lift up the one who is greater than Solomon. Can I just remind you this morning that before we go any deeper into this message, that there is nobody like him. You see, he is all that Solomon was, but a million times more. And I'm going to say about these things a little bit later, but there is nobody like him in his wealth. We talked about how Solomon, the Queen of Sheba, heard about Solomon's wealth. You see, all that money, all that wealth that he had was great riches. But can I tell you, there's nobody like the Lord in his wealth. He's got an abundance. He doesn't need money. He can just snap his fingers and it could pop it up here if he wanted to. You see, he can meet every single need, whether it be physical, whether it be material, whether it be spiritual. He can meet every need that you have. He can meet every single need. There is nobody like him in his works. He has all the power. He can move mountains, quench your thirst, save your soul. He has a great work. Solomon had great works, but God's works are even greater. He's the only one that could save your soul. This preacher can't save your soul. Anybody in this world cannot save you. The only one that could save you from the eternal flames in hell is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody like him in his works. There's nobody like him in his wisdom. He holds all the answers to all the questions that we have in this life. You know, it boggles my mind when people try to run to family members. Now, by the way, there is nothing wrong with going to family or friends in times of need. But can I tell you, they may not have the exact answers you're looking for. That's good. That's right. You may love your family, you may love your friends, but they may not have the answers you're looking for. Can I tell you, we have the cheat sheet. Hey. Amen? Amen? I mean, this book has every single answer in whatever we need to be successful in this life. Every single one. But yet, what do? We go run to family, we run to friends, we run to doctors, we run to self-help, whatever the case may be, you insert it there. We run to everywhere else, but we run to God last. When God should be the first. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." And what does it say in the latter verse? "And all these things shall be added unto you." The first, we need to go to God first in everything that we do. You know, he has the wisdom to answer all of our questions. He is the answer to all the riddles. You remember, maybe you did this in school. I know I did this one time, where you couldn't figure out what the answer to a problem was. And you may have just scratched down, "Jesus is the answer." I still got that question wrong, by the way. Now, but in life, he is the answer to every single question. Every single problem that we have, he's the answer. You see, there's nobody like him in his worship. He can bring you into his presence into the God of eternity. He alone can give you the vital connection you need to God. You see, he alone bridges the gap between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. You see, there's nobody like him in his reputation. You know, when lost men hear about him, it just makes them curious. People are curious of who this God is. You see, the Queen of Sheba, she was curious of Solomon's God. She heard about it. You ever have people that they're lost, they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they look at you and they see something different about you? They want to know more about your God. Can I tell you, you're an example to those people around you. You may not think it, but there is people that are looking at you. You say, well, Brother Matthew, I'm not anything special. What have I done? But look, there are always people looking up at you. Whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be coworkers, people are looking at you. They say, you're a Christian, and maybe they're looking at other people like, they're not living the same. You know, if you're living like the worldly people, you're not separated. By the way, we're going to talk about being separate tonight in a connected world. But you see, we need to live a separate life than the life of this world. But the sad part is today, churches, today, Christians are not being separate. Let me not get off on my sermon tonight, but let's just say that the reputation of God hinders on you. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are the reputation. And look, Solomon was representing the Lord to the Queen of Sheba. All of his kindness, all of his things that he did for her, and he gave the glory to the Lord. He showed it is because of the Lord. You see, I got interested in him because, just like the Queen of Sheba, I got interested in God because of some of the things those who knew him were talking about him. By the way, everyone knows him. Everyone of us who know him should be talking about him. We should be talking about the Lord. We should want to talk about the Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Would you look in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8? You know this verse. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, "But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in unto the uttermost part of the earth." We are witnesses for Christ, amen? And we should be telling others about Christ everywhere we go. We should be displaying the love of Christ, of what he has done for us. But you see, there was the reputation of King Solomon. But number two, I want you to notice this morning, the riches of this king. The riches of this king. When the Queen of Sheba arrived in Jerusalem, she was astounded by the greatness of King Solomon, of his wealth, which it blew her mind. Look in verse number 5. It says, "And the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and at the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent, by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." The Queen of Sheba saw all these things. She saw his possessions. Verse 4 talks about seeing his possessions. She saw his house. She saw his wealth. He gave her tremendous wealth before she returned to her own country. Isn't it amazing that all of the she was just marveled at his possessions. She marveled at his provisions. We see that in verse 5. The meat at his table. She refers to the massive amount of food required to feed those who ate at his table on a daily basis. She saw his people, all the servants, as it says in verse 5. It shows this. She watched his servants as they ministered to him. She noticed how they sat in his presence, listening to his voice. She noticed how how they carried out his wishes. When they ordered something, when Solomon said something, his servants went and did it immediately. They came because they loved King Solomon. She was amazed by this. She was amazed of how happy they were, how happy the servants were. Who had happy servants? That's what she was thinking. Who has happy servants? King Solomon did. She saw his piety. She watched the Solomon enter the temple of God. History notes that Solomon had a covered walkway connecting his palace to the house of God. She watched him worship. She watched him sacrifice, and he made the sacrifices he made to God, and she was amazed. Now, when the Queen of Sheba saw the riches of King Solomon, she was totally flabbergasted. She was amazed by this king. And she said, "There's nobody like you. There's nobody like you, Solomon." But I want to remind you this morning that there was a greater Solomon among us today. Let me just remind you that there's nobody like him in his possessions. There's nobody like him in his possessions. Psalm chapter 24. Would you turn over to Psalm chapter 24? Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24, verse 1. The Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." No matter how much wealth you may accumulate, no matter how much you have, the titles you have, the Lord has it all. You see that in that verse? "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Everything that you see is God's. Every single thing. Everything in your life belongs to God. Now, he made you tenants of it. He made you, you're just renting it from him. But you see, I'm thankful for what the Lord has given to me. I'm thankful for the vehicles we drive. I'm thankful for the house that we have. But look, it's not ours. It's because God gave it to us. The clothes on our backs, the everything that we have, our precious little daughter, Lydia, she may be our daughter, but she is God's. It's God's. It's because God gave her to us. And you know, I'm thankful for everything I have, but we just got to remember that God provides. God has the greatest of possessions. He owns it all. He can take care of his people. There is no shortage with him. There is nobody like him in his provisions. Not only does he have it all, but he's willing to share it with us all. I'm thankful for his provisions. I'm thankful for the food that he gives to us, the food on our table. You know, lots of times we, as Christians, we get caught up in the daily basis and we forget to thank God for the simple things in our lives. When's the last time you woke up in the morning and just said, "Thank you, God, for allowing me to get up this morning. Thank you for letting me be able to breathe the air, to be able to stand on my own two feet, to be able to walk into the kitchen and open the refrigerator and get something to drink." Aren't you thankful for those things? Amen. Many times we forget those. We forget to thank God for everything. We get caught up on the daily routines. We just get up, go to work. But thankful to God that you have a job to provide for your family. Thank you for the ability to have that car to go to work. For the money that you're able to put the gas in the car to get to the work. You know, there's so many things we forget to thank God for. But they're all from him. And we ought to be thanking him for the little thing, but we ought to be thanking him for the big things, but we ought to be thanking him for the little things as well. You see, there's nobody like God and his provisions. But you see, there's nobody like him in his people. His people love him and want to be around him and to hear his word and to do his bidding. I'm thankful that you're here this morning. It shows me that you want to serve the Lord. Look, you're not here to listen to a preacher. You're not here to worship a man. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to worship God, to sing our praises. I love what the singing that was already done today. We're here to praise the Lord. It's not here to put on a show. We're not here to glorify ourselves and how good we sing. And some may just make a joyful noise. You may not be able to sing, but you can sing to the Lord, and it's a joyful noise to him. We're here to glorify him. We're not here to what I like to call play church. We're not here to do that. I don't know the hearts of everybody in this room, but look, I believe with all my heart that you're here to serve God. I've been in churches where people are content with just coming, taking up a space on a pew, and walking out and not doing anything for God the rest of the week. Now, I don't know if that's anybody in this church. I have no idea. That's between you and God. That's not for me to judge you. That's not, but look, if that may be you, can I tell you that, if you're saved, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that you're saved, that you're saved from the eternal fires of hell and that you're going to heaven one day. Thank the Lord for that. But if that's all you're doing, there's a problem. When you got saved, it ought to have fired you up to want to tell others what God did for you. If you can't thank Him for anything else, thank Him for your salvation. That's the greatest day of your life. What is it, little Matthew Lemmings? He just got saved. When did he get saved?
Last Monday.
Look, he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. That's the greatest day of his life. That, you know, he may grow up to get married one day. That may be his second greatest day of his life. But his greatest day that he ever will have was when he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And if you can recall that day, you may not know the day, you may not know the time, you may not even know what you prayed, but you remember when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that is the greatest day in your life. For me, it was March 30th of 2008. I remember it very well. And I remember I didn't get saved in church. I didn't get saved at a revival. I didn't get saved at camp. I got saved at my parents' bedside. But it doesn't matter where you got saved. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have a big, impressive testimony. All you need to do is know for sure where you're going when you leave this life. You know that you got saved, and I'm thankful that I know the day when I got saved. I know there was a time when I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. Thankful for His position. Thankful for His people. There's nobody like Him in those things. But I want you to notice number three this morning, the reality of this king. There's a reality. The Queen of Sheba had heard about Solomon, but she didn't believe it until she went to see it for herself. You know, people sometimes overhype things. They say, well, these things are going on and all this. And they say, well, I won't believe it till I see it. That's what the queen was saying here. She's like, I won't believe it until I see it for myself. So she went to Jerusalem. She went to go see King Solomon, and it left her dumbfounded. She took that step back and said, there's nobody like him. Her personal discovery was her trip to Jerusalem led her to some personal conclusions. She first said, he has more wealth than she had heard. She has more wealth than she thought. She had heard about his wealth, but she didn't believe it till she saw it. And she saw more than what she had heard. She got more from him than she gave. She got more from him than she gave him. She got more from him. He was more wise than she had heard. He was able to answer every one of her riddles. He was more wonderful than she had ever heard. She concluded that she hadn't even heard half the glory and half the greatness. Now, every person in here who has ever heard of Jesus Christ has responded by coming to him for salvation, can echo everything that the Queen of Sheba has discovered for themselves. He will always give you back far more than what you give up. He will reveal to you more than the answers to the riddles and the life problems. He will always prove to be far more glorious than you could ever imagine. He will leave you flabbergasted. He will leave you astonished. He will leave you amazed. And you can step back and say, there's nobody like our God. There's nobody like him. Everybody who's ever told me about Jesus lied to me because he's more than they led on to be. He is more. The half has never been told. You know, her profound declaration here was she saw some things. She had some things to say to Solomon about what she saw. In regard to his servants, she commented on how happy nature of the servants. It's a good thing Solomon wasn't Baptist. Where can you find a happy Baptist? You know, I'm just kidding with you, but their servants are never happy. Servants are always like, I got to get up and I got to do this for that. And no, these servants were happy to serve King Solomon. Why? Because they knew he was real. He was genuine. They knew he served the one true God. And so they were happy to do whatever he pleased, he wanted. But you see that servants are never happy. Solomon's were. Solomon's servants were happy. In regard to his Savior, she commented of the greatness of Solomon's Lord. She bragged on his goodness and she bragged on his love. She was convinced that there is nobody like Solomon and there's nobody like Solomon's God. One of the reasons I could say that there's nobody like our God is because those who know him are happy people. Those who serve him are happy people. They rejoice in the Lord. I've noticed this from y'all, from even just the last time we were here to Friday night. It's just we know that you love the Lord. And we're very grateful for that. You find people in churches that are just like, well, I got to come to church and just check off my spiritual thing for the week. You find them in every church. By the way, I'm not saying this is a perfect church. There is no perfect church.
That's right.
There's none. And I can tell you that I'm not a perfect preacher. There is no perfect preacher. There's no perfect pastor. But the one thing I strive to do is to do my best for the Lord. With the Lord's help, this is what I believe. This is where the Lord wants me to be, and I believe that he will help. But all we got to do is put our faith and trust in him. You know, there are times where I have thought about, you know, am I really ready to be a pastor? I thought about that. And that question has gone over in my mind, and I've heard people ask that. You know, I don't think there's really a time you could be ready for something like that. But I need the Lord's help for it. And let me tell you this morning, I am not going to make any promises to you because I do not want... Look, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. I'm human. I will fail as a preacher, as a pastor. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to do anything like horrendous or anything, but the thing I'm saying is I am a sinner. And I will fail you, and you will fail me too. But that's because we're human. We have a sinful nature. But with the Lord's help, we can make it through this.
Yeah.
With the Lord's help, God can bless this church. I believe he already has blessed this church. I've seen, Brother Jack gave me the list of blessings that have been going on the last 2 years, and it is just amazing how the Lord has blessed.
Yeah.
But you know the reason that the Lord has blessed is because we set our sights on him. It's not because we think we have the money to do it. It's because, or that we could do it ourselves. It's because God has provided. God has done all this. But can I tell you, there's nobody like him? The Queen of Sheba came to God because of what she saw in Solomon's kingdom. She went back to her country saying, there's nobody like King Solomon. And I wonder this morning, have you ever met the one who is greater than Solomon? Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You never remember a time where you have come to the realization that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. Can I tell you this morning that you can do so today?
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation. Look, we are not promised tomorrow. Jesus may come back 5 minutes from now. We don't know that. No man know the day nor the hour when the Lord cometh. But can I tell you, he's coming soon. I believe he's coming soon. You can see it in today's world, just the signs that are going on. The revelations that are playing out for us today is just, you just know that the Lord's coming soon. But we don't know what time, we don't know what day. But what our job is to do is to be ready. We need to be ready. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please do not leave this place without knowing for sure. Look, you say, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what kind of life I've lived. No, I don't, but I know that my Bible and God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you, that's me, that's anybody in this world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that promise. I'm thankful that he gives us that. I'm thankful that he saved a dirty, rotten sinner like me. And can I tell you this morning, if you do not know for sure, please don't leave here. Whether you want to come forward this morning or you want to talk to me afterward or you want to grab somebody by the hand and just say, look, I don't know, I do not know 100% sure, please do not leave this place.
Amen.
Maybe you're here today and you do know the Lord, but maybe you've gone astray from him a little bit. Maybe you've gone on your own will. Maybe you're not walking the way God wants you to be this morning. Can I tell you, you can come back to him. Just like the prodigal son came home to his father, you can come back to the Lord. And maybe you're here today and everything's going well. You're serving the Lord. Just remember the good things that he's given to you. Remember that it's all from him. And be great. And look, just be thankful. But when those times come, and I loved what Brother Artis was saying this morning, when somebody is down, we weep with that person. We try to help that person up, because it may be 2 weeks and it may be the same thing. We may be in the same situation. By the way, when one of us hurt, we all hurt. This morning, I just wanted to give maybe a short message about there's nobody like our God. There's nobody like him. He's the perfect creator of the world. He gave us eternal life if we choose to accept it. Let me plead with you one more time this morning. Would you not leave this place without knowing for sure